Black Americans have had a long history in this country of facing discrimination in marriage.
From the Latino perspective, you know, it only makes sense to show a diverse face.
For many APA same-sex couples, the struggle for equality is as much about challenging our second-class status as it is about safeguarding our families and children.
And not letting anybody say who we are, what we believe, we can stand out and speak for ourselves.
Cowboys frequently, secretly fond of each other.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Partnership politics play out from the Caribbean to the South Pacific. The United Arab Emirates sends wedding party gay men to prison, and U.S. queers of color coalesce to combat marriage discrimination. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 18, 2006. Marriage was on the minds of government leaders in several countries this week. A Charter of Fundamental Rights and Freedoms has been under review in Jamaica since 1991, promoted as amending the Caribbean nation's constitution to better protect human rights. However, following a major press conference by numerous religious leaders this week expressing concerns that the new charter's language could allow same-gender marriage, government officials issued assurances to the contrary and went even further. Justice Minister A.J. Nicholson issued a statement saying that there was no intention whatsoever on the part of the government or the Joint Select Committee of Parliament that any door should be opened by provisions in the proposed Charter of Rights and Freedoms or otherwise to decriminalize homosexuality or to pave the way for same-sex marriages. Nicholson said JFLAG, the Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, All Sexuals, and Gays, told him it would be content if the offense of buggery was removed from the statute books, but that the committee's decision was, let the parliament rule on that.
Portuguese campaigners submitted a petition to their parliament this week with over 5,000 signatures, including those from celebrities and leftist politicians, urging passage of legal marriage equality. Under Portuguese law, petitions with more than 4,000 valid signatures must be considered for full debate in the parliament. Pressure on the Portuguese government has been building in recent months to follow neighboring Spain, which established civil marriage equality last year.
As expected, President Václav Klaus of the Czech Republic this week vetoed a bill establishing limited legal recognition of registered gay and lesbian couples. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek supported the bill, along with 86 deputies, and had called on Klaus to sign the measure into law. The bill now returns to the lower house of parliament, where it takes 101 of the 200 deputies to override the veto. In an October poll, only 30% of Czech citizens opposed the introduction of registered partnerships, while 62% supported it.
Under the UK Civil Partnership Act, any British national living abroad can register a same-gender civil union in a British embassy or consulate, as long as local law allows it. The British consulate in Hong Kong says it has received several inquiries, but can't sanction the registrations until it receives a formal no objection from the Hong Kong government. A Home Affairs Bureau Protocol Division spokesperson said this week that the government is still considering the matter. Similar requests have reportedly been approved at British embassies in Japan, Vietnam, Venezuela, Turkmenistan, Colombia, and Belarus.
Some members of Australia's parliament have increasingly been voicing support for British-style civil partnerships, and activists lobbying in Canberra this week say that support is building. Prime Minister John Howard has vocally opposed same-gender marriage and civil unions, last month calling the latter a cop-out. But one of the country's leading activists, Rodney Croom, said, "The commitment of those MPs who question this stance has left us with a renewed sense of optimism." Attorney General Philip Ruddock recently required registered marriage celebrants at all weddings to announce the country's legal definition of marriage, amended in August 2004, to be exclusively between a man and a woman. Australian marriage equality spokesperson Peter Furness said that the Conservative government's continuing attacks on queer couples was becoming obsessive.
In marriage-obsessed U.S. state legislatures, New Hampshire and West Virginia this week rejected bills that would have added language to their respective constitutions banning legal recognition of same-gender couples. Virginia's Senate handed marriage equality activists a partial victory while clearing the way for a ballot measure there by unanimously approving language that will describe for voters all the restrictions a proposed constitutional amendment would create. The amendment states in part that this Commonwealth and its political subdivision shall not create or recognize a legal status for relationships of unmarried individuals that intends to approximate the design, qualities, significance, or effects of marriage, nor shall they create or recognize another union, partnership, or other legal status to which is assigned the rights, benefits, obligations, qualities, or effects of marriage. If the House of Delegates concurs, Virginia voters will see the entire text of the amendment when they go to the polls on November 7th.
And the Idaho legislature finalized a proposed constitutional amendment this week that, if ratified by the state's voters in November, will deny same-gender couples any civil rights. The amendment stipulates that a marriage between a man and a woman is the only domestic legal union that shall be valid or recognized. Some critics have charged that the measure is so vaguely worded that it could affect the legal rights of unmarried heterosexual couples.
New Jersey's Supreme Court heard oral arguments this week in the lawsuit brought by seven gay and lesbian couples who charge that the state's marriage laws are a discriminatory violation of the New Jersey Constitution. The case began working its way through lower courts in 2002 and is the oldest such state lawsuit now playing out across the country. No one would speculate on when the justices will rule, but the court has often handed down opinions in August.
New York marriage equality advocates this week suffered two judicial losses, but celebrated a legislative victory last week. Republican Governor George Pataki signed a bill allowing same-gender domestic partners to determine the disposition of a partner's remains. Alan Van Capel of the Empire State Pride Agenda said it was the first time in New York state law that same-sex relationships have been given priority over a blood relative, and called the bill a victory for our families.
But the mid-level New York appellate court has ruled unanimously against same-gender couples seeking marriage licenses. In a unanimous decision, the five-judge panel said, "The legislature is where the changes to marriage should be addressed. Everyone expects the issue to eventually be decided by the state's highest court, the Court of Appeals."
And that court issued a sharply divided 4-3 opinion this week that New York City's equal benefits ordinance was unenforceable. The measure had required large city contractors to offer the same employee benefits to lesbi gays as to its hetero workers. Similar ordinances have long been in place in San Francisco and several other cities. The New York City Council overrode Mayor Michael Bloomberg's veto of their ordinance in 2004, but Bloomberg refused to enforce it. The council then went to court, using a procedure designed to compel public officials to follow a duly enacted law. The three dissenters on the court sided with the council, arguing that an executive does not have the authority to ignore a law based on his or her personal opinions. The headline of the New York Times story about the decision announced, "Mayor need not enforce certain laws, court rules."
Homosexuality itself is illegal in the United Arab Emirates and neighboring Muslim Gulf countries. In November, UAE authorities raided what was described as a gay wedding in the desert resort city of Gantot, arresting 26 men. A government official announced this week that 11 men have confessed to practicing homosexuality and were sentenced to 5 years in prison for that offense and 1 year for obscenity. Another man was sentenced to 1 year in prison for obscenity but was acquitted of homosexuality charges, while 14 others have been released after being found not guilty. He said the verdicts could be appealed. In November, the UAE's Interior Ministry said it would be giving the men hormone treatments to cure them of their homosexuality. But when pressed this week by a U.S. government official, a ministry spokesperson repudiated that.
More than 40,000 people were on hand for the 11th Gay Pride Parade in Melbourne, Australia earlier this month. 93 contingents traveled down Fitzroy Street to Kentani Gardens, where a concert was held. The city fire department marched for the first time, joining a group of about 40 state and local police officers.
More than 1,000 revelers, reportedly from some 40 nations, also turned out for the annual Gay Pride Parade in Phuket, Thailand. The celebration was aimed in part at helping revive gay tourism on Phuket's Patong Beach, which suffered a sharp drop-off in visitors following the December 2004 tsunami.
But finally, organizers planning a first-ever Pride parade in Moscow in May have run into stiff opposition. A spokesperson for Mayor Yuri Lushkov said that such events caused outrage in society, particularly among religious leaders. The bishop of the Russian Orthodox Church compared homosexuality to leprosy. Russia's chief rabbi told Mos News that if the parade is held, it would be a blow for morality, and a leading Muslim cleric made headlines this week by threatening violent protests against anyone participating, saying they should be flogged. Chief Mufti Talgat Tajuddin claimed that any normal person would do that, Muslims and Orthodox Christians alike. He added that the protests might be even more intense than protests abroad against those controversial cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad. Parade organizers responded with threats of their own, however, saying that if Moscow officials deny their formal application, they might file a complaint with the European Court of Human Rights.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 18th, 2006. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written this week by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With this ring, I promise I'll always love you.
Freedom to Marry Week was observed in the U.S. as part of the annual Valentine's Day Love Fest. Queer couples sought and were denied marriage licenses in several locales, while rallies and other events were held across the country. Country music icon Willie Nelson released a song about gay cowboys, which you'll hear later in the program. But perhaps most notable last week was the formation of a national coalition of queer people of color organizations aimed at advancing marriage equality in their respective communities. A media teleconference moderated by Lambda Legal Community organizer Renee Hill provided an opportunity for representatives of the newly partnered organizations to outline what they're doing and to discuss the similarities and differences they share in that task.
The purpose of the project is really twofold. The first is to have a forum for people of color, both gay and straight, who do support marriage equality, to be able to share their images and raise their voices and to be seen and heard as folks who are supporting marriage for same-sex couples. And the second purpose of this is to really debunk some of the images of people of color as only anti-marriage equality, to give some alternative images and to show a broader picture of what's really happening in communities. So there's an education component that's going on, focusing on an ad campaign to reach the broadest possible audience that we can have for this project. And to that end, we are launching widespread web presence featuring banner ads on websites such as Essence.com, Asian Avenue, Mihente.com, and shoplock.com. So we have a second phase of this campaign, which is during June, which is Pride Month, and during the whole Pride season, which actually goes beyond June, we're going to be launching a traveling exhibition of photographs for the campaign, so people can come and see the photographs and hear from folks who are part of this campaign. We're hoping to place the photo exhibit in a variety of places, everywhere from places of worship to universities to art galleries, settlement houses, etc. We're also planning, as a second phase to our launch, to have made available more written material that's targeting people of color communities and why marriage matters to and for people of color. Marriage equality, same-sex marriage, is an issue for us. I'm going to introduce one by one the representatives from the partner organizations to make brief statements, and we're going to begin with Andy Wong, who is from Asian Equality.
Marriage equality matters to Asian Pacific Americans, and I'm going to refer to Asian Pacific Americans henceforth as APA because it confers important protections for our families, and nothing is more important to our community than making sure our families are safe, healthy, and intact. Indeed, for many APA same-sex couples, the struggle for equality is as much about challenging our second-class status as it is about safeguarding our families and children. It really should come as no surprise, then, that many APAs have helped and are helping to spearhead the struggle for marriage equality nationwide. Currently, APA same-sex couples serve as leading plaintiffs in lawsuits seeking the freedom to marry in California, Maryland, New York, and Washington states. And incidentally, the lead attorney in several of these suits is ACLU lawyer Kenneth Cho. It should also be noted that many of the most high-profile members of our APA community support marriage equality. Among them are Margaret Cho, Yoko Ono, Amy Tan, Doris DeKay, better known as Mr. Sulu, Helen Zia, Congressman Mike Honda, and even U.S. Transportation Secretary Norman Mineta, who presently serves under the Bush administration. In addition to these individual support, many of the most prominent APA organizations in the country also back the issue. In 1994, the Japanese American Citizens League became the first non-gay organization after the American Civil Liberties Union to support the issue. Other APA organizations that have since declared support for marriage equality include the Asian American Justice Center in D.C., the Asian American Legal Defense and Education Fund in New York, Asian Law Caucus in San Francisco, Asian Pacific American Legal Center in L.A., and the Asian Pacific Islander Legal Outreach in San Francisco. To conclude, let me just say that APAs have faced a long history of discrimination in the United States, wartime internment, immigration restrictions, and laws banning interracial marriage. This legacy of exclusion and unequal citizenship remains painfully real today for same-sex couples within our communities. Given our history, APAs have a unique ability to recognize this injustice, and indeed we have been and will continue to be powerful voices in defense of pluralism, mutual respect, and security for all loving families, including those of devoted same-sex couples.
Next we have, from the National Black Justice Coalition, Alexander Robinson.
Equality and justice certainly matters to African Americans, and I don't have to, I don't think, go into the history of discrimination and marginalization that has been experienced in all sectors of our community. Black Americans have had a long history in this country of facing discrimination in marriage. It began with our being excluded from the institution at all, to restrictions on our choices of marrying individuals who were not of our race or ethnicity. And so the fact that there are African Americans who are supportive of marriage equality, I think, stands to reason. I think that this campaign is important to build support in the community, although what we would also say is that if we waited on society and majority opinion to come around and legislative action, African Americans would still be enduring the indignities of separate but equal accommodations and other manifestations of legal, social, and political segregation. My experience of this collective action has, in and of itself, been unique and different. In that, as we do our individual organizational work and in our collective work, seldom do we all come together and begin to really have discussions about the similarities of the arguments we need to make, the similarities of the objections that we hear to moving forward with equality, but also the differences. And so I think that it helps us in that we all learn in the process. And I think that it's also can be much more reflective of the kind of community that we want to create, that the sort of secondary message that we're sending is that, you know, we're looking to create a community that is diverse, and that if you travel around the country and you go to the Pride celebrations, that you can find our families are coming together in this way. And so I think that for that reason, having a sort of multiracial, multi-ethnic, and multicultural alliance and coalition makes sense.
From the National Latino Coalition for Justice, we have Martha Donaire.
The marriage debate is very powerful within and without the Latino context. In the Latino community, You know, we have always this impression that Latinos tend to be more homophobic, and in a way it is, and in a way it isn't. Latino families are very united, and families tend to come above everything else, which are not the same family values that are being espoused by the fundamental right wing here in the United States. Our family values are that of strong families, and strong families implies the inclusion of all. And I think that this is also important to keep in mind how we categorize communities of color. Especially in the Latino community, we don't have a so-called race. Latinos are an ethnic group, not a racial group. And we have Asian Latinos, we have blonde, blue-eyed Latinos, we have African-American Latinos, and we have brown Latinos. So we have a very, very... Oh, we have Middle Eastern Latinos, too. So... we have a very, very broad spectrum when it comes to racial denominations, but Latino in itself is an ethnicity. So for us proper to be able to show a more comprehensive face, it's very, very important. And I do believe personally that we do have to shy away from the politics of categorizing people into little boxes, and we do have to understand that we are all one. In the future, we're not going to survive as separate entities, but only as one. And this is a basic first step in doing that. And again, from the Latino perspective, you know, it only makes sense to show a diverse face.
Okay, and finally, we're going to hear from Samia Basir from Freedom to Marry.